Hello, listeners, and welcome to AUSA's Army Matters Special Edition segment. My name is Mark Holland, and I am the Director for Government Affairs here at AUSA. Today, we are honored to be joined by Lieutenant General Thomas Horlander, the Military Deputy to the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller. Sir, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We are also joined by Lieutenant Colonel Eugene Irby, who's a United States Army Fellow here at AUSA. General Horlander, sir, again, welcome. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Army's fiscal year 2021 budget request. And sir, as we begin 2020 here, I've learned that this marks your third year as the Army's Military Deputy, the Army's Senior Leader for Financial Management Comptroller. Could you share with us a little bit about opportunities provided to you and the decisions you made that have led to you becoming the Military Deputy? Given that you were commissioned as a second lieutenant in the field artillery, one might think, well, maybe a finance officer or a Corps of Engineer officer might be the military deputy.
Well, so you're absolutely right. When I joined the Army back in 1982 and I went through basic and OCS, I actually asked to be a finance officer.
All right, sir.
And the Army, in its wisdom, designated me to be the field artillery officer. And quite frankly, I'm very, very, very happy that they had actually made that decision.
Yes, sir.
Because I think it's really important that soldiers and non-commissioned officers spend many of their formative years out on the line, if you will, with the soldiers. And so I spent about the first 17 years of my career as a field artillery officer. In the latter part of that 17 years, I did have some comptroller G8 types of positions. We had a dual track personnel management system at that time. But around my 18th year of service, the Army asked me to make a decision. Did I want to continue on and serve as a field artillery officer? They highly encouraged me to choose an alternate route and become a full-time G8 comptroller. And so I considered that and I elected to do that. And so for the last 20 plus years of my career, I've been doing resource management, financial management, comptroller, pick whatever you like. Really CFO kinds of work if you're talking in the private sector. I did have a pretty strong background in math and accounting and those kinds of things in some of my studies. But candidly, I would tell you, I think for a comptroller to be successful, they have to understand the Army. You have to understand Army operations.
Right.
And I think my formative years as a field artillery officer really helped me to be able to do that. And, you know, I've been blessed really to still wear this uniform after 38 years of service. It's quite a privilege and an honor. And to have had the opportunity, not just to serve at all the different levels and manage the resources of the Army at all levels, but really to be able to serve with the great leaders and the great soldiers that we have in the Army today. They are absolutely phenomenal people. Their dedication to duty, their commitment to this country is just so powerful. It's just a really great way to spend your life being part of something that's much bigger than yourself.
Thank you very much, sir, for sharing with us. And it's so important, as you said, to focus on soldiers, supporting soldiers, and to always do our best, and that opportunities will come for us that can be very exciting and as well as rewarding. So now, turning to this year's fiscal 2021 budget for the Army, could you please share with us a little bit about the budget themes, the highlights that led to building this year's budget request?
Sure. So Secretary Mattis, as a SecDef, back in January of 2018, he gave us a very fundamental document known as the National Defense Strategy.
Yes, sir.
That's the anchor, if you will, of everything that the United States Army and frankly the other services and what they do in building their resourcing programs for the armed services, the armed forces. And so with that, we have had a number of strategic documents that nest with the National Defense Strategy, whether it's the National Military Strategy, the Defense Planning Guidance, some recent guidance that we got from both the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Esper, and the Secretary of the Army, Secretary McCarthy. All of those documents very cleanly nest with the National Defense Strategy. And so we have been on that azimuth, on that trajectory, and that has really been the document that governs all of our decisions. At least we very much try to make it so.
Right.
And so I would tell you that's the very first thing that I think is fundamentally important about understanding the Army budget in any year since 2019 is that it is focused on supporting the National Defense Strategy. Concurrent with that is we've had a new administration come into office who placed a higher priority and higher premium on investing in the defense of our country. And so where we were in the area, the Army's top line, for example, in the 16-17 budgets was around $150 billion. Now we are at about $180 billion. And we've had that now for the last 3 years. And this budget is the fourth year where we request a level of funding in the same area. Having said that, though, I would tell you, I think we're at an inflection point.
Right.
You heard me say that before. We're at an inflection point whereby we have really invested a lot of our time, a lot of our energy, and a lot of our resources in trying to modernize the Army and transform the Army for 21st century warfare. 21st century warfare is really large-scale ground combat operations, something most people would be familiar with if they served in the Army back in the 80s and 90s,
right,
with the airland battle doctrine. And then multi-domain operations. So, you know, when I was a younger officer, the three domains that we focused on were air, land, and sea. Today, we've got air, land, and sea, but let's add a couple, cyber, space. And so the threat environment has become much more vastly complex than what it was, say, 30, 40 years ago. And so you've got a different threat. You've got a funding level, which is a vast improvement since 2016, 2017. I would tell you, we're at an inflection point because we are now in the process of trying to transform and modernize this Army. Transform it in terms of how we achieve readiness goals. Transform it in how we manage our people, trying to take an industrial base personnel management system and turn it into a 21st century or an information age talent management system. So that's a big effort and a big push right now. And then, of course, the modernization of our equipment. And not just our equipment, though. I would tell you we are working on the entire continuum of warfighting. So it's doctrine. It's training and education. It is equipment. And so we've spent a lot of time initially looking at ourselves internally, because we knew if we were going to take this Army and transform it and to modernize it, we had to ensure we had our own house in order and to ensure that every dollar that we spend, we were spending it in the most optimal way.
Right.
And so you've heard many of us talk about Night Corps.
Yes, we have. Dives. Right.
And so we have spent a lot of time looking at ourselves internally to ensure in every area that we spend our money, is it really supporting the national defense strategy? Should we really still be buying, I don't know, pick an item, right?
Right.
Should we really still be buying that? Or is that something we can afford not to have anymore and be able to redirect those funds into those six modernization priorities that I believe by now everybody's pretty familiar with?
Right.
We are in a big inflection point, I think, so much to the point where while we've enjoyed these higher levels of funding for the last 3 to 4 years, we're going to get to a point where we're going to make some really hard decisions, because I can tell you right now, the 31 signature systems that are managed by the 8 cross-functional teams under the Army Futures Command,
right,
those systems are on a good trajectory. We're going to see a lot of pilot programs in the next 2 to 3 years, some low-rate production. We're going to see first units equipped as early as 25 and 26.
Very impressive.
And so, Therein lies, when you've got 31 signature systems, all necessary to conduct large-scale ground combat operations and multi-domain operations, all very necessary. But therein lies, I would tell you, a challenge for the Army if we continue to have a flatline budget.
Right.
I think we've done a pretty good job of optimizing our purchasing power, whether it's through the Night Corps process. And I would tell you about Night Corps and the deep dives. These are not singular events. These are not events that we've just done for 2 years and we're done, okay? The fact of the matter is, Night Court is as much a part of the PPBS, the PEEPS process now,
right,
at least for the Army, it is as much a part of the PEEPS process as budget formulation. We have got to have a process by which every year we do a very thorough deep dive of all of our programs. One, we want to ensure we're making the right decisions. And number two, we want to make sure as things change, do we need to make any adjustments to our investment portfolio? It's a bit complex. It's quite a puzzle, as you hear me talk about this. It's complex and it's a puzzle, but I do think we'll get to a point where it's going to be necessary to see an uptick in the real purchasing power in the Army budget.
Thank you very much, sir. And if my memory calls right, PEBS is
planning, programming, budgeting, budgeting, and execution.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
Thank you very much for highlighting the themes of this year's budget and tying them all to the national defense strategy for our country. And so, sir, with regards to this year's budget, could you explain a little bit how the budget supports soldiers and families? And then as a second part, a little bit about, you've covered modernization, perhaps a little bit on readiness.
So when it comes to readiness, let me answer that question this way. So there are three fundamental components of the Army budget.
Yes, sir.
There's people, there's readiness, and there's modernization.
Right.
We have some smaller slivers of military construction money, a couple of other smaller accounts, but those are the three primary pieces of the Army budget, okay? In the people category, you'll see a pretty sizable increase in the amount of money we are requesting for this budget for people. We're going to give our soldiers, or we're requesting to give our soldiers a 3.1% pay increase. Our civilians, right now, there's a 1% pay increase for them. And so therein lies a pretty sizable increase in what we're asking for in the people category. And there's a small in-strength growth, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we collectively feel pretty good about our in-strength, whereby we achieved almost 484,000 soldiers in the active component last year. We're going to 485 this year. This budget requests 486. So you can see it's a modest growth trajectory for our in-strength. And I think we've got the recruiting and marketing piece of our program in a good place where we can achieve that with some predictability. So there's good progress made in that area. And we're really focused a lot on managing the talent of our people. So both Secretary McCarthy and General McConville, the chief, has spent a lot of time trying to get us to focus on managing talent and not just managing people and in-strength. So we have a talent management task force. We've put new programs in place. We've got a battalion commander's assessment program. We've got this program called AIMS, where it's not just the soldier that says where they would like to serve next. It's the command, the gaining command, who gets a say in that equation. And then I would tell you this new IPSA, Integrated Pay and Personnel System, very important for us to be able to manage the talent of our people. So there's a lot of focus and a lot of commitment to the IPSA program as well. So let me walk away from the people piece of this for a minute and just talk about readiness.
Please, thank you.
And when it pertains to readiness, so a lot of focus on the individual and the smaller units. You'll hear the Sergeant Major of the Army, Sergeant Major Grinston, talk about this is my squad.
Right.
If you think about it, everything starts right there at that level with the soldier, whether we're taking care of each other and one another's families. You find when you have a very integrated and cohesive team at the squad level, you have amazing cohesion, and you also have a lot of the typical soldier problems that we run into. A lot of that is taken care of at the very lower level when we pay some attention to it at the lower level. So I would tell you a lot of focus there, a lot of focus on initial entry training. So we've taken things like the infantry advanced individual training or the armor course and extended that, made it a little bit more rigorous. Mm-hmm. We've done some things with the Army's combat fitness test. I think you're aware of the ACFT.
Yes, we are.
Changed that. So we're doing a lot of things right down there at the lower level. We still do the CTCs, the Combat Training Center rotations.
Right.
We fully funded those this year. We have funded our home station training. Again, trying to achieve what we set for ourselves several years ago, which was having 2/3 of our active component brigade combat teams at the highest level of readiness. We're on a good trajectory, and we feel we're going to achieve that by 2022. I think we're on a good path right now in terms of the readiness objectives we're trying to achieve, but we're talking about readiness a little bit differently this year because it's not just tactical readiness. We're talking about strategic readiness.
Right.
And I would tell you, it's not enough to have this highly trained brigade combat team ready to go. You got to get them there.
Yes, sir.
You got to get them to the fight, get them there fast, and get them fully equipped and ready when the boots hit the ground. And so we're focusing a lot on strategic readiness. You've heard about these Defender series, probably.
Right.
Where we've got a big Defender series, a big mobilization exercise going on in Europe this year. In 2021, it'll be in the Pacific. And we're doing a lot of focus on power projection platforms. And so making sure that the money that we spend in our infrastructure and our facilities really contributes to the power projection platforms and the capability to support strategic readiness. And so that's a key component, I would tell you, of the readiness portfolio that we have. And then to talk about modernization, so we've been after this now for, this is our third year.
Right.
And if you hear Secretary McCarthy, he says it, we're going to finish what we started. So I think we have really postured ourselves for great success in the future. Obviously, with the establishment of the Army Futures Command, commanded by General Mike Murray, the six modernization priorities. Mm-hmm. And then within those six modernization priorities, there are eight cross-functional teams. And each of them manage some portion of those 31 signature systems. And those signature systems are partitioned in those different cross-functional teams. And I would tell you, we just took a briefing on this last week. I feel really good that those systems are on a very good trajectory.
Yes, sir.
On a very good azimuth.
Excellent.
They have, you know, a lot of prototyping is going to be taking place here in the next 2 to 3 years. We'll go into low rate production in some of these areas. We have first unit fielded coming up for some of these capabilities in fiscal year 25, 26, 27. So most of those are on a very good trajectory. And so I think we're seeing the fruits of our efforts here in these initial stages of our modernization campaign. So some really good things going on in the Army.
Yes, sir.
All necessary.
Sure. Right.
I would tell you, all necessary. And we owe this to the nation. We owe this to our country. You and I grew up for the last 50, 60 years. And I would tell you, we've enjoyed just a wonderful life of freedom in the United States
That's
of America.
Right.
But we have got to get this right for the future and for our countrymen and their future. So I feel pretty good about where we're going. But I would also tell you, you know, freedom isn't free. There is a cost in all of this. And so watching the Army's budget and watching it over the last 20 years, really, but at least here in the short term, watching the Army's budget, we are at an inflection point. And so we're at an inflection point, both in terms of how we manage the talent of our people, but also in our modernization portfolio. So we're developing all these capabilities. There's a migration from science and technology to research and development. And eventually, that's going to continue on into the acquisition phase of this. So we have to watch that very closely, because when you start producing things and buying things, that obviously is, there's a bill associated with that. I hope that kind of covered what
you were looking
for.
Yes, sir. Very helpful. Thank you.
Maybe a little bit verbose, but
Very comprehensive budget strategy to support our soldiers and
sure.
talent management, as well as readiness and modernization. And so you've also commented about reforms within the Army. I think Eugene has a question to ask with regards to reform for the
sure.
Army.
We understand reform is a big part of the Army's budget request and overall transformation initiative, as the Army is committed to getting the most out of every tax dollar. Can you tell us a little bit more about these financial management reforms and initiatives that you're setting and driving forward?
I wouldn't isolate them to just financial management, okay? But some of the key reforms, so I talked a little bit earlier about Night Court.
Right.
And the deep dives, but I would tell you that is a huge reform, along with the establishment of the Army Futures Command and the establishing the cross-functional teams. That's a huge reform, because that puts the framework in place that allows us to modernize quick, at least much quicker than what our predecessors would have done. We're seeing 2, 3, and 4 years off of timelines because of the way we've reorganized ourselves to do modernization. So I would tell you, the second one is something I think you're familiar with, the Commander's Accountability and Execution Review Process.
Yes, sir. Right.
You know, I credit that to the leadership of the United States Army. I introduced to them a couple of years ago now how well we were doing to optimize our budget in some of the areas I thought we could enhance our fiscal stewardship of our budget. So this was something they embraced. They directed the establishment of CARE. Secretary McCarthy actually established this. I want to say it was in February of 18. Don't quote me on that date. But what's really important about this, Eugene, is not just that we established it. They are an active part of it, okay? And when I say they're an active part of it, I have the Undersecretary of the Army and the Vice Chief of the Army chairing a monthly meeting with 2- and 3-star generals who are commanding generals who are there to report out on their fiscal stewardship efforts to ensure that we optimize the spend of our budget. I will tell you, we had some years where we did not do so well in optimizing the spend of our budget. We've made some pretty good gains on this. even in just the first year of care, now we're in the second year, and I think we're going to continue to see some positive improvements to how we execute our budget. There's two reforms, a big push on auditability,
right.
And I would tell you, we spend a lot of time on that. We think we'll have our working capital fund auditable by the end of fiscal year 21, and our general fund by the end of fiscal year 23. So a lot of hard work on auditability. And I think those are really some of the bigger reform efforts, if you will. Again, all of those are because they are a priority for the senior leaders of the Army. And so I think there's some good news story there. We knew this. We knew this when we knew we had to modernize to support the National Defense Strategy.
Yes, sir.
We had to look and go internal to ourselves first to see where it was we could redistribute some resources and do a better job in managing those resources. We knew we had to do that, and I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
Yes, sir. Excellent. Thank you for explaining that to us and our audience.
Yes, sir. And sir, just a follow-up question on readiness. Family readiness is a big part of,
yes.
of Army readiness.
Yes, yes.
And earlier today, you commented about key initiatives in the budget that support our Army families. Are there any additional remarks you could make with regards to, for example, perhaps childcare or spouse support?
When you talk about people, one of the things, and both the Secretary and General McConville, the Chief of Staff, have established 5 quality of life initiatives.
That's what it was, yes, sir.
Yes.
I remember now.
5 quality of life initiatives. So the first one is housing. So no secret, it's been out there in the press. We've had some housing challenges. I think the entire Department of Defense has.
We've also heard very positive remarks about the Army's leadership in addressing the housing issue.
Oh yeah. Once again, this is a leadership team of personal involvement.
Yes, sir.
Going out to the installations, talking to the families, talking to the RCI managers who manage much of our family housing. And there is a focus on the housing piece, healthcare, child and youth services or family programs,
right.
writ large. There's a big focus area there. We spent a lot of time looking at childcare, child development centers.
Right.
And so there's been pretty good investment in that. And the desire is to have an increase in the investment of child development centers. And so we're working on that. Spousal employment and some of the certifications. I know there's a big effort, and even the Sergeant Major of the Army is helping us out with
that. That's right.
And lastly, all of us who have experienced a permanent change of station
yes,
move,
sir.
to a person in this room and probably throughout the force, everybody would say, that could be a better experience. And so those are the 5 areas, though, that,
yes, sir.
That the leadership is really focused on in terms of quality of life.
Thank you very much, sir, for explaining that. Of course, family readiness directly supports Army readiness. So, sir, thank you very much for joining us today and for your remarks
sure,
and explaining
sure.
the Army's fiscal year 2021 budget. Any final comments, remarks with regards to the budget or perhaps Army's plans for Capitol Hill?
One of the things I really appreciate about the leadership team that we have today, the Secretary, Secretary McCarthy, and General McConville, very active across the entire enterprise.
Yes, sir.
Not just talking to Capitol Hill and the what we call the defense committees of jurisdiction.
Right.
They are heavily engaged with a lot of the members of Congress and spending a lot of time with them. We spend a lot of time with industry, think tanks, you know, just anybody that has an equity in the Army's budget. We spend a lot of time on that. This media interview, for example, is something, you know, to get the word out and to get the support of everybody
right.
to support the Army's budget, I think, is really, this is a huge effort that I think will be very beneficial to getting the support that we need for the 21 budget request.
Again, General Horlander, sir, thank you very much for joining us today. Your remarks have been very, very helpful with regards to the Army's fiscal year 2021 budget. So thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
And this concludes our episode today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Thought Leaders. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.